أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين كفروا ينادون لمقت الله أكبر من مقتكم أنفسكم ينادون لمقت الله أكبر من مقتكم أنفسكم إذ تدعون إلى الإيمان فتكفرون قالوا ربنا أمتنا اثنتين وأحييتنا اثنتين فاعترفنا بذنوبنا فهل إلى خروج من سبيل ذلكم بأنه إذا دعي الله وحده كفرتم وإن يشرك به تؤمنوا فالحكم لله العلي الكبير هو الذي يريكم السماء رزقا وما يتذكر إلا من ينيب فدعوا الله مخلصين له الدين كره الكافرون صدق الله العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم صدق الله العظيم.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ye subh-e Madina, ye sham-e Madina. Ye subh-e Madina, ye sham-e Madina. Mubarak tujhe ye qiyam-e Madina. یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ بھلا جانے کیا جامو مینا عالم بھلا جانے کیا جامو مینا عالم تیرا کیف اے خوش خرام مدینہ. یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ. مدینے کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر ہو مد نظر احترام مدینہ. مدینہ 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 بڑا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ. نگاہوں میں سلطہ نیت ہے چہوگی جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ. نگاہوں میں سلطہ نیت ہے چہوگی جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ. سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو, سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ. یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ. ہو آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ. یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. قد افلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون. صدق الله العظيم. Most of you here are hafizes of the Quran Sharif and students of Darul Uloom, and it is with the barakat of the request of these students from Azadwal that we are having this program. So our majlis here, it will be directed more towards the students who are here, but inshallah the others too will benefit. Being students of a Darul Uloom, being students of a Dini institution, whether it's a boys institution, girls institution, or whatever institution, and whenever we think of institution, then we always think of a big emara, a big building. We think of a big building where there are a large number of classrooms, a big dining hall, a big kitchen, where there are large number of pupils. There is a masjid or a jamaat khana. Now in this way we think of an institution of deen, that is the institution of deen. Whereas an institution of deen is, even if two people sitting under the tree, one is a teacher, one is a pupil, then that's the institution of deen. If there are few people that are out in the jamaat for tabligh and for dawat, that's an institution of deen. If there is an anjuman where they are only practicing how to give speeches, then that's an institution of deen. If the speeches are being practiced so that they will afterwards go and convey it or give those speeches in some masjid or some other place, then that's also an institution of deen. So we must not look at it in a very narrow context, that whenever we say that those who are connected with some institution of deen, then straight away our mind goes that connection with institution of deen, then that person must be some with some big idara. It's not that. Whosoever is connected with the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that he is making khidmat of the deen of Allah ta'ala in whichever form, either as a student that he is learning, or as an ustad that he is imparting, or as a da'i that he is calling and inviting. Everyone is linked to the institution of deen. So if we have to look at it in that light, then we will say that large number of people are included. It's inclusive of so many different categories of people. Even those who in the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala are distributing hampers, we will say that's an institution of deen. And then which Muslim is there that we can say that he is kharij from this institution? If we take it in a broader context, then every Muslim, it is his duty as a Muslim to make amar bil maruf and nahi anil munkar. Of course, the method will be different. The methodology is not the same everywhere. There will be different areas where the person will have to make amar bil maruf, nahi anil munkar in a different light, in a different way. But the thing is that it's the duty of every Muslim. Now, if every Muslim fulfills his duty, then he's also connected with the institutions of deen. So for those people who are connected with the institutions of deen, and especially in this majlis here, we are talking about the students of Darul Uloom who are here, and the Hifz classes, and others who are connected with the work of Dawat Tabligh, whosoever it may be, that one of our major weaknesses is that we waste a lot of good time. That is our major weakness. Now listen to this malfooz of Hazrat Mujaddid-e Millat Rahmatullah Ali. Ek silsila e guftagu mein farmaya ke taalluqat aur mashagil ghair zaruri ko sab ko qata kar diya. Albatta jo zaruri hai wo mustasna hai. Ab main iska logon ko kis tarah yaqeen dilaun, ye vijdani aur zauqi baat hai. کہ ان حضرات کو کسی چیز سے دنیاوی محبت نہیں البتہ ضرورت کا اور شفقت کا تعلق اور ہے میں نے ایک تذکرے میں دیکھا well, he says that I have terminated all غیر ضروری تعلقات now I'm just giving you the مفہوم the meaning which is relevant for our purposes He says that I have given up all غیر ضروری تعلقات. And this giving up of غیر ضروری تعلقات is a part of deen. If we have to really explain this, we will say that there are two kinds of تعلقات that a person has. One is ضروری, one is غیر ضروری. The تعلقات with his children, with his wife, with his family, or the ustad with his pupils, the sheikh with his murids, the businessman with his clients and customers, the professional person with his clients, the farmer with all those people that he has to work. Now all that is zaruri taluqat. Now in those zaruri taluqat and zaruri connection, sometimes it is even ghair Muslim. They are also included. Although it's a ghair Muslim, it is the person is not even a Muslim. A person is in a farm and he's got 1,000 laborers, he's got a factory, he's got 1,000 people working for him. Now all will not be Muslims there. So he will have some kind of taluq with all of them. But we won't say that that is ghair zaruri. We will say that is a zaruri taluq. Because it is part of the production team. So he will have to maintain a kind of taluq with them. So if it is a zaruri taluq, then that is mustasna, that is something that we accept. But we are talking about ghair zaruri taluq. with a person's taluk, with the people, or with whatever it may be, it is not zururi, it is ghair zururi. It is futile, it is useless. Then that kind of taluk, if we do not terminate, then what is going to happen is that that noor of that ilm will not remain in the heart. The majority of our meetings, our discussions, the majority of our get-togethers and large part of our time is taken up in futile, useless activities. A little while, some joke, some laughter, some entertainment just to refresh oneself, or some friend came and you talk to them general matters just to make him put happiness into his heart. Now that is all deen. We will say that that is zururi taluk. Ghair zururi is where there is absolutely no benefit. Now the ummah at large today, that is the problem. And when the leaders of the ummah are also going to be engaged in the similar kind of futile activities, then we will not get an inqilab in the ummah. And you will know by now what I am referring to, that if you have to take the ummah at large, then there's the entertainment scene that has been laid out before them. Nothing but entertainment. All round you will find nothing but entertainment. Entertainment in the bazaars, entertainment in the beachfront, entertainment in the hotels, entertainment in the cinemas and theatres and casinos and discos, and then the TV is all day entertaining, all haram entertainment. And then if you have the computers now entertaining, giving the person sensual satisfaction, haram entertainment. So now when there's so much of haram entertainment, now at that time, if the leaders of the ummah and you as ulama or future ulamas, you will be qualifying from the institutions and then leading the ummah. So we have to take lessons from this. All of us who sit in this kind of members and chairs, from where we give nasihats and waz, so then we have to take lesson that where does our time go? How do we spend our time? Now there's no doubt that there is a lot of attraction and pull in those haram places. Now there are so many who are hafizes of the Quran Sharif, so many ulama, or so many scholars as they call them these days, scholars, because they know hadith and tafsir. Although sometimes there might be no amal, but they are scholars. Now, if you have to look at the time that is spent of all the scholars of deen and scholars of Quran and hadith and philosophy and Islamic science and Islamic arts, everything Islamic, then where is the time spent? So if there's a World Cup, then hours and hours will go in that football. After that, then suddenly there'll be a Rugby World Cup, then there'll be a Cricket World Cup, then there'll be this World Cup and that World Cup. There'll be nothing but World Cups that will occupy the person all the time. As soon as he goes to work and just returns from the namaz, he'll dash back and the TV is on again, and hours goes on. And that is those people who are little deendar. I'm talking about those who we term as little bit deendar, that they got taluk with the masjid, taluk with the akabir and mashayikh, taluk with some madaris. Then they will say that we are watching sports only. Their time goes in sports, because they say that they've got some fatwa about sports, although those days are gone when that fatwa may have been given, that what sport was permissible. Those days are gone. If you have to look at the things now that are happening, nobody can give that fatwa or jawaz. But nevertheless, that is the taluk, or that is of those people who have got in some taluk with the masjid. Then those people who haven't got taluk with the masjid, then they will watch anything and everything from morning till evening. That's their watching. So if those people who are connected with masajid, madaris, darul ulooms, if our time is also going to be spent in such kind of futile things, then the effect of that will fall on the community. Whatever happens at a markaz, it permeates, it goes far and wide, and it affects the ummah at large. That's why if you have to take Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif, whatever happens there, then the effect of that goes far and wide. whether we like it or not, it goes far and wide. When there was deen in Madina Sharif, when there was deen in Makkah Sharif, the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Ali Majma'in, they were from Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif, and wherever they came from also, when they came to Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif, and they stayed there. Then from there, when there was deen, so the effect of that was felt all over the world. Everywhere in the world, that effect was felt. Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Ali Majma'in, they spread from there, they went throughout the world. So what did they take with them and go from there? They took the deen of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So from Makkah Sharif and Madina Sharif, they took the deen of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam and went out. So the effect of that which was happening at the Marakiz, that was which was happening at the Markaz of Islam, it was felt all over the world. So that is the system of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that whatever happens at the Markaz, then the branches take effect from that. And when in Makkah and Madina Sharif, television, filthy programs became a norm for large number of people, and so many other things which we don't want to talk about, so then we can see that the effect of that is felt worldwide. That is the system. If they became mad and obsessed with football, then the world Muslim community became obsessed with football or whatever sports, because at the Markaz it is happening, so all the branches will take effect. So that is on the large scale. And on the smaller scale, our own Darul Ulooms, our own institutions of learning, our own Dini Edaras. As I said, that I am directing it to my student friends for whose sake we have kept this majlis, that what is going to happen in our Edaras, in our institutions, in our lives, then that is going to impact on the Ummah at large in our areas. If the Imam of a Masjid is obsessed with football and soccer, then his Musallis will also be obsessed with that. If the Imam of a Masjid, whatever his inclination, then slowly that same thing will filter through, generally. So these Dini Edaras of ours, whatever we are going to pass on from there, that is what people will take effect from. So as students of Deen, our time, where do we spend? That is very important. As I said, that most of our discussions is absolutely useless and futile. That is why Hazrat Tanvir Rahmatullah Alayhi says that I have terminated, I have cut off all ghair zaruri talluqat. I mentioned this to the students of Maulana Naeem's Madrasa the other day too, that when you come out of the masjid, now for a little while to enter into some sort of a discussion about something or the other, which general matters, it is understandable and it is acceptable, and it's not only acceptable but sometimes necessary also to put happiness into the heart of our Muslim brother, our companion, our colleague from the madrasa, or friends. Now we talk to them some general matters, so that is acceptable, it's permissible, and it's good at times. But then our discussions just go on and on and on. Now if we have got a day off, then that day off, how much of mutala do we make? Now we say that it's a day off. So the day off means that we are going to talk and talk and talk the whole day, and 90% of that talk is going to be useless talk. Now can that be acceptable for an institute, for the Dini student, for a student of Deen? Now that is what affects us, and that is why we don't seem to retain any kind of noor of all that Quran and Hadith and Sunnah in our hearts. Whatever comes, and then again our discussions for a little while will be on track. We will talk general matters, and then we will start discussing ABC, and we'll talk make ghibat, and we will not have the courage, or if somebody is making ghibat, we don't have the courage to say, no, please hold it now. Now we are making ghibat, and this is totally haram. We don't have that courage. I don't have it. We don't have it. So we can't stop the person straight away. Or we can't change the subject. The person is talking about somebody now, so we change the topic. We talk about something else. Some students asking me, they say they want to ask some questions. So make a note of your questions. Whatever questions you have, you make a note of it. Last night we had a majlis, this is the second one. You still have another 4 or 5 majlises to go. Or few other majlises. At the end of the majlises, I will give you time. Then if still some of your questions are unanswered, then you ask me. But keep them, inshallah, you will get answers to most of your questions in the majlis. With the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I've got that ummid. But if there's anything left, then you can ask at the end of it. So, what was I saying? Ghibat. Now the ghibat started. Now we don't have that himmat and the to say, but now it's enough. I mean, we mustn't make ghibat. We are students of deen and we are ulama. So therefore we must not engage. Yes, sometimes it is an issue where it is not ghibat. It is a discussion which is essential. That the person's name has to be made known. Like how a person asks a mufti some fatwas. But there are exceptions which are very few. But I'm talking about the general ghibat that we make, or ghibat which we make in excess, and there's so much of engagement and indulgence in it. So now we don't have that himmat. So if we are standing for hours and hours just talking and talking, this is what is going to happen. That all that noor of that Quran and hadith and whatever we have had from the morning in the dars or for the whole week, within minutes it'll all vanish. And we will find our hearts empty. No connection with Allah Ta'ala, no connection with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no increase in the ishq and the love and the muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes, our bayans may be very flowery speeches we can give, and we can thrill the audience, and we can sway the crowds, and everything we can do. But there will be no noor in that. At the most, at the end of it, we will make ourselves happy that the bayan was very powerful. But as far as the effect is concerned and the impact is concerned, it will be very minimal. Why? Because we are now speaking with an empty heart. We are not speaking with a heart which is filled with the noor of taqwa and with the noor of zuhud and qanaat and sabr and shukr and tilawat and zikr. We haven't got that. So now our speeches become empty. It's just words. It does not come out in that capsule of noor, what I explained the other day, that those words now don't come out of the heart in a capsule of noor and go into the heart, through the ears of others into their hearts. They're empty words which come out, and then empty words we say goes in through this ear and out through the other. So most of our discussion leads to ghibat, and from there we know that we are just destroying that noor of what we have achieved or attained a little bit of that. So for the students of deen, this malfooz is very, very important, that we must engage just to the extent that it is necessary. That last night I was explaining to you all that in the Khanqa was Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh, it was conditional that if a person came for 1 week, then on the first day he must go and meet whosoever he wants to go and meet, his family members, his ustads or whoever it is. After that, in the room, if there are 3 or 4 or 5 people, then those 3, 4, 5 people, the only thing they do is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How are you? Everything okay? The person says Alhamdulillah. And if that person says, no, I'm feeling ill or I need some tablet or medication, then of course the person who's his companion in that room will help him. But if he's well and both are well, then finish. You occupy yourself in your tilawat or in your reading of the kitab or making your zikr or sleeping, but no discussion. Now imagine a person staying 4 months, 6 months, and the only discussion or talk that he has with his companion in the room, and we're not even talking about the outsiders, talking about his roommate, the only discussion he has is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and how are you. And if Hazrat used to come to know that they started talking other things, they used to get very offended. Now imagine that person after 4 months or 3 months or 6 months, how much of noor must have built up in that heart. For the benefit of those who were not here last night, that example that I gave, that people will say that what is it, in the four walls you are making them sit, and for 5 days, 10 days they are sitting just in that small room or in that small hall, or they are sitting in the masjid, they must go out, and there's so much of problems in the world and you are just sitting there. So what do we say? We say that those cars, they go into the garage for what? For servicing. Now that garage is meant for servicing. The garage is not meant for driving that car. Now if the person had his Ferrari serviced there, but some person came and told him that you are stupid, such an expensive car and such a fast car, you got a Porsche, you got a Ferrari, and you're putting it into this small garage here, you must drive it, you must move with it. So he too switches it on and presses the accelerator. What's going to happen? He'll blast the wall and his head too in the process. But if this person is intelligent, then he will say, no, just hold on. After it is serviced, then you must see how he's going to run on the highway. It'll leave behind all the cars and trucks and buses and all the fast and speedy motor vehicles, because it is serviced. So this servicing that he used to do in there, that was for servicing, that those 3 months or 2 months or 6 months, whatever they used to spend there, quiet. Because when you're going to close your mouth, then you're going to get through the ears into the heart. When the person closes his mouth, then after that he can listen. But the person who's talking, he can't listen at the same time. The person who's talking also and he wants to listen also, it's not going to work. So there for a few days, few months, he makes them close their mouths, so that they can get, they can absorb. And now they're listening and they're filling up their heart. Now it is being serviced. Now when it is properly serviced, when they will go outside, now it's going to move at a very fast speed. Now his akhlaq will be right, his muamlat will be right, his muasharat will be right. His ibadat will have noor and everything will come right. Why? Because he has serviced that vehicle of his. He has removed those dents from that spiritual body of his. So this is for servicing purposes. It's not that you have to sit like this lifelong. The alim will have to go and teach, he'll have to go and make tabligh, he'll have to go and give da'wat, he will have to write kitabs, he will have to make masail, bayan of masail, he will have to solve problems of the ummah. There's so much to do. So this is for that purpose. So this was his usul. But in these days, because we suffer from a little bit of dehydration of our brain cells, so that's why very quickly we get dehydrated. Like that, if we play soccer in the heat there, we don't get dehydrated. But if we sit in majlis quiet for a couple hours, then at the end of it, it'll be only the shaykh who will be talking and all the rest will be sleeping. They'll be making muraqabah. They are on the farsh here, but they will say that we were on the arsh. If the sheikh says, get that person up, he's sleeping. When he gets up, he says, no, I was in muraqabah, you know, I was making tawaf of the arsh of Allah. They say one person was sleeping at work. One Muslim was sleeping at work. So the other Muslim, the manager, he walked in and he saw that this person has got his head down and he's sleeping. So he said, get that person up. The person who was next to him said, shake him up, get him up. So then he got up, straight away says, Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifoon, Salamun Alal Mursaleen, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Al. He said, but you were sleeping. He said, I was making dua. I had my head on this thing and I was making dua for the barakat of your company. So now what is he going to tell him? So we get dehydrated very quick. So that's why our mashayikh say that these days we mustn't have very, very rigid and very hard and fast programs, must have some light-hearted, but keep them occupied and build up that courage and that himmat to restrain from sin, because the mahol is so fast, the pull is so fast, so strong, that it takes us away. The attraction is too much, the distraction is too much, and the mizaj of the nafs is that it wants to go towards sins. The mizaj is also that it wants to go that way. And the pull from that side too is very strong. Now what does a person do? One is that there's nothing there to really attract or distract. Now at this moment in the masjid, there's nothing. But if the person just goes outside and has to go into town, then he knows what he's facing. It's like a storm there. Now how is he going to resist that storm? So if he hasn't built up that courage and the himmat, then he will not be able to resist it. One pretty woman will go past, he'll lower his gaze. The second one will go, he'll lower his gaze. After that, the nafs will say, how long are you going to keep lowering your gaze? So he'll say, well, this one you can look, but just one gaze. And after, because one gaze is maaf, it is excused. So now the next one he'll say that you allowed one gaze, so prolong that one gaze. Now you can see how nafs will come. He say, you allowed one gaze, so now just prolong it. So the nafs will say, but I only looked once. But it's just that this once, what he did now is prolonged it. And after that, slowly again, now the person is back to square one. So all that himmat has to be built up. And this ghair zaruri ta'alluqat, that is what destroys this himmat. When we have ghair zaruri ta'alluqat. And this ghair zaruri ta'alluqat is not only with human beings. This is another thing we must understand in these days. This ghair zaruri ta'alluqat that I'm talking about for students of madrasas, darul ulooms. It is not only with the human beings, those people who are in human form, because that's what we understand as ghair zaruri ta'alluqat. But that's not only the ghair zaruri ta'alluqat. Our ghair zaruri ta'alluqat with anything, even material things, it is harmful. Ghair zaruri ta'alluqat has got a very wide meaning in the context of tasawuf. That anything that occupies our mind more than what is necessary, like for example the computer now. The computer is a very useful invention and very useful the thing to make use of. It's a very useful thing, instrument. It's a very useful instrument. But now if the person has ghair zaruri ta'alluq with it, then it's going to also lead him to disaster. Now the person switched on the computer for what? He switched it on because he says there are lots of good articles in the Islamic sites. Or he's doing some research. So now that's how he switched it on. Now when he switched it on, that was a zaruri ta'alluq. We'll say that ta'alluq was zaruri ta'alluq. Wo ta'alluq kya tha? Zaruri ta'alluq tha. Lekin ab nafs ka taqaza hua. Now let's look at the other sides. Now the person went on to ghair zaruri ta'alluqat. So that ghair zaruri ta'alluq will now take him to some porn site, some haram site, some here and there. And finish. That can be a student of deen, or it can be a student of a college or university. Until and unless that person hasn't made islah of his nafs and hasn't built up that power of resistance, he will not be able to bypass it. So many letters I get, so many telephone calls, so many people are talking about the same thing, that what do we do? And then so many of them are ending up in mental hospitals. I'm not talking about students of deen now, so many others. And the major cause is that. So ghair zaruri ta'alluq, whether it is with friends, whether it is with musallis, or whether it is with clients and customers, or whoever it may be, it is a ghair zaruri ta'alluq. Then it will create darkness in the heart. It will create zulmat in the heart. And if it's a zaruri ta'alluq, it's not going to create darkness in the heart. A person has to spend a number of hours in his business. He has to pack the shelves. He has to mark the articles. He has to invoice things. Now he's spending hours. But because it's a zaruri ta'alluq, if his niyat is correct, then it will not create zulmat in his heart. Like that example of the person who's selling onions and potatoes. So if he's selling onions and potatoes, then whole day he's going to shout nothing but onions and potatoes, because that's the only thing that he's selling. Now if he's got cartons of onions and potatoes there, and instead of shouting onions, potatoes so much, if he says reading Durood Sharif, you get so much sawab. If he says reading this tasbih, you get so much sawab, then who's going to buy his onions and potatoes there? Now that occasion is not for talking about tasbih. Yes, if the customer is talking to him and he's got time and his mind is there too, then you talk to him about that. But now here, if there are so many customers there and everybody wants to know what's the price of this, what's the price of that and all, and there this person doesn't talk anything about the items that he's got on his shelf in a shop, now the person is not talking about that. Now customers are asking how much this, how much that, he says, no, I'm not allowed to talk anything about dunya. Now this onions and potatoes is dunya, so I can't talk about it. Shirts and what I'm selling and all the garments is dunya. So we will say that this person, they will categorize him as one of those who should be a candidate for the asylum, because some nuts are loose and they need a bit of tightening. So he should be dispatched immediately. So this person, if he is talking whole day, it will not create zulmat in his heart, because it's a necessary taluq. And the words also, although it sounds dunya, but what is dunya? Dunya is that which diverts the person from the akhirat, makes him forget, makes him ghafil from the akhirat. Then that is dunya. Wealth is not dunya. A good mattress is not dunya. But if that mattress makes the person sleep and he only rises after the sun has risen, as I always say that we talk about the rise of Islam, rise of Islam, but many of us cannot arise until the sun has risen. But we talk about the rise of Islam. So first we must rise up before the sun has risen. So in the same way here, now, so if this person has got a very comfortable mattress, but he still gets up for even tahajjud, he gets up for fajr, then we will say that is not dunya. So dunya is that which diverts the person from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So ghair zururi taluq means is not only with human beings. As I explained earlier, that zururi taluq can even be with non-Muslims. Even that won't create darkness in the heart. But a ghair zururi taluq, even if it is with Muslim brothers, it will create darkness in the heart. It will create zulmat. The unfortunate part is this, that our hearts haven't experienced brightness as yet. That is our problem, that we haven't experienced that brightness. It's only when we get that brightness in our hearts, then we will know what is darkness. To know darkness and understand darkness, you have to contrast it with light. If there's no light, then you won't understand what is darkness. Now, if it is bright now, then it becomes, the sun sets and becomes dark. So now we know what is light. We appreciate light. Now we wait for light, so we'll switch on other lights because the sun has set and it's gone dark. So our hearts, if they become like our white clothes, on which even if you put one drop of ink, you can see it from a distance. So then we will sense that darkness. And wallah, I'm taking qasam in the masjid and I'm telling you, because you are my friends, that when we get that kind of light in our hearts, then even if we talk a little more than what is necessary, you feel zulmat in your heart. You immediately feel zulmat. Even if it's a few words extra that you have spoken which you shouldn't have spoken, you will feel zulmat in the heart. And then quietly again you make istighfar, tawbah, ask Allah for maafi and forgiveness, then again you feel a kind of a brightness coming in there. Now that is something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us so that we can understand. But then first we have to have our garments washed, and it must be clean, it must be white, so that we can see that dot, we can see that ink mark. Like Hazrat Mullah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh Mashayikh said, if a person is working in a garage with an overall, now he's got a black overall and he's working, so all the grease marks and all the dirt, you can't see it. No matter how much there is, but you can't see it. But if a person is working with a white overall, then you will see the condition of it. So this ghair zururi taluqat, in this first majlis, this is first thing that you have to learn, is that when you return to your Darul Ulooms, then you have to make an x-ray of your lives, or make an assessment of our time, the time where it is being spent, the free time, and how much of our taluqat are ghair zaruri. I'm talking about students. The ghair zaruri taluqat, we have to curtail them, we have to nip them, and then spend that time in further mutala of kutub. The library must become our friend. For a student who is doing tafsir, hadith, Quran Sharif and other kitabs, the library must be his friend. That engage in the least amount of unnecessary discussion. But as I said, that if some person is talking now, some general matters now and again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself used to sit and listen. The sahabas are talking. If there are general matters, he listened to it. He may not have said anything, but he listened to show that it is mubah. And idkhalu sururi fi qalbi al-mu'min is an ibadat. So put happiness in the heart of a Muslim. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, one person came to him and he spoke for a little while. And it wasn't really important or necessary things, but general matters. And afterwards he said, Hazrat, must make me maaf, I took up your time and I spoke unnecessary things. He said, bas kya, sirf namaz padhna ibadat hai, sirf zikr karna ibadat hai, ek musalman ka dil khush karna bhi to ibadat hai. So you must not go on to another extreme also. That if a person just started some talk, he's discussing the weather of the day, he said, no, that's ghair zaruri, don't you know there's bright sunshine, what must you say, lovely day, can't you see outside? If it's raining and the person says, we're having heavy rain today, so he says, but what are you talking all this useless things and vain talk? Can't you see? I'm not blind, I know it's raining there. I also got wet when I was coming. So now mustn't become khushk also. Khush raho, khushk mat raho. As Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, khush raho, khushk mat raho, don't be dry. That means there mustn't be a kind of a dryness in the attitude. The person is snubby, he doesn't want to talk, he says, because I'm making muraqabah all the time and I'm in deep thought and you are disturbing my trend of thoughts. Every time that I'm trying to reach the arsh, you are cutting me off from there and bringing me back on the ground. So there must be some kind of a balance. There mustn't be extremism. There must be some putting of happiness also, talking necessary matters and... But the amount of time that I'm talking about, the amount of time that we waste in unnecessary and futile things, it is affecting our Islam. It is affecting our progress. Otherwise, there should be no reason. When a person is spending so much of time from the morning till the evening, he's doing nothing but call Allah, call al Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how much of nur must come into that heart? That person must be a magnet the moment he comes out from the Darul Uloom. And I'm telling you all these things now, otherwise we were the same. We went through the same, but you see, you must learn from the mistakes of others. As somebody said, you must learn from the mistakes of others, because you may not live that long enough to make those mistakes. You must learn from the mistakes of others, because you may not live that long to make those mistakes. So we mustn't make those mistakes, we must learn from the mistakes of others. Like that we make shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that the library was something that we made extensive use of, but even then there was a lot of time that was wasted in football, in this, that. The students go to play and after you play and come back, then what? Yes, to run, to escape, to play a little just for the purpose of good health or take a walk. Those things are essential, but I'm talking about unnecessary and futile. Now that takes you on to a lot of haram. That takes the students onto a lot of haram. And especially these newspapers, it's not fatwa. There are lots of things which are not fatwa. It is for the purpose of islah that certain things are mentioned. That if a person wants to stay away from haram, then he must not go to those sources also, or to those papers or magazines, even though there may be one or two good articles in there. But if the majority content of it is haram and we haven't built up that resistance power and we can't skip through it and we know that we will get caught up in reading those articles and that are there, and then they will incite the passions of the person and it will lead to so much of other disaster in the person's life, so then stay away from such areas. This is the thing that we have to do. We will have to build up that resistance power to stay away from those areas of sin or which have got the potential of getting us caught up in sin. If we don't do that, then again the same thing. All the effort that we put into bringing something into the heart, within seconds it's all vanished and gone. Allah Ta'ala's deen is ghayyur. It doesn't come, it doesn't stay there if you are not interested in it. It comes with great difficulty, but leaves the person with great ease. Without any effort, it just goes away. It is only Allah Ta'ala's ihsan that, looking at our weakness, Allah Ta'ala doesn't seize us same time. He gives us an opportunity to make tawbah, make istighfar, to repent, to turn towards Him, to come back again on track. If Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had to just expose our weakness, and if Allah Ta'ala had to show the world what our actions are in our private lives, then we will understand that what is that, then only we will understand how much of Ihsan Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is, that He has concealed and He has not exposed it. So as students of Darul Ulooms and students of His classes and students of Deen, this is very important, that we have to curtail our futile activities. Without that, we are not going to get anywhere. That noor of the Quran and the noor of the Sunnah and the noor of Hadith Sharif and the noor of Zikr and Tilawat, it just vanishes once the person is hooked up on anything that is haram. So all these things which I have mentioned, I don't say that is fatwa, that you just cannot even read those articles. There are many things a person can read, or he has to read. As an alim, he has to know what is happening in the world. There are many articles that he has to read. So therefore, if he is going to read that with that niyat, then there's nothing wrong with that. But we haven't built up that resistance power. We haven't built up that taqwa in our hearts, that the moment we are tempted towards sin, then we shun that temptation. So we are going to open up to read with some good articles and we'll get caught up with the haram ones or the filthy pictures there, and then that noor will vanish. So what will happen is that then we cannot differentiate between light and darkness. Once there's total darkness, then the person can't do anything. So غير ضروري تعلقات, that is what I was explaining, that غير ضروري تعلقات is not only with human beings, which affects the life of a student of a Darul Uloom or a student of Deen, it is not, or any Muslim, it is not only human beings. That is what we normally understand, that we say mustn't have any غير ضروري تعلقات. So it means that we are with people. But it's not only people. In our time, there are so many other things. Any material thing also, if you've got غير ضروري تعلق with it, then it's going to definitely affect the spiritual progress. It will create zulmat in the heart. And as I gave you the example, that to research something on the internet, for example, it is the person switches it on and now is researching. So that is a zaruri taluk, because the person is now benefiting from that information there, so that's a zaruri taluk. But the moment it takes him onto those sites which are haram, or those sites which are going to bring about disaster in his spiritual life, so that temptation must be resisted. So that is also a kind of taluk. So don't go on to ghair zaruri sites there. The same with our reading, don't go on to ghair zaruri reading. In our talking, in our speech, don't go on to ghair zaruri talk and speech. So then we will retain that noor inside. This noor, it vanishes very quick. So that is one issue. The other issue is this, that one is ilm and the other is amal. Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, yes, you all know Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi was a great Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Shaykh Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, and great, great ulama used to go to him. Hazrat Maulana Ali Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to go to him. Maulana Habibur Rahman Azami Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to go to him, and so many other great, great ulama. Now what they used to go to him for? And they had oceans of knowledge, but they used to go there because there was something that he possessed which they felt that they did not have. And that was that connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that which Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi possessed. So they said when they went into his company, it seemed as if he lit up that flame of Allah Ta'ala's love in their hearts too. So they used to go to him. So he used to say that khanqaye aur tarbiyat gaye murda padi hui hai. Tarbiyat murda padi hui hai. Murabbi jo hai وہ آنسو بہا رہے ہیں اور تم جو ہو جلسے پہ جلسے کر رہے ہو. So that effect is to say that as far as tarbiyat is concerned, it seems like it's dead. When you look at the murabbis, they are shedding tears that, Ya Allah, what do we do now? where do we arrest the rot? How can we change the condition? How can we bring about inqilab in the ummah? How can we give them a different direction in life? And how can we give them a taste and enjoyment of obedience to you and your Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He says, they are shedding tears. And he says, tum ho bas jalse pe jalse kiye ja rahe ho. It seems that the only thing that is of interest to you is to have big jalsas. Big jalsa, people are invited from all over the world. They are powerful speakers and they sway the audience and crowd and everybody make wah wah, have a good meal and gone. And we think that we have done our job as Muslim. So he said, that is our problem. So ilm is something else and amal is something else. Somebody who said, na kitabon se, na wazon se, nazar se paida, deen hota hai buzrugon ki nazar se paida, that neither with the kitabs, nor with waz, nor with wealth, does deen come into a person's life. Deen comes into the life of a person with the nazar of the book, of the Allah walas. So that doesn't mean that there's no need for the kitabs, there's no need for the ustads, there's no need for anything else. Ilm is also very important. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how much of fazilat of ilm he gave. Because if the person has got ilm, then at least one day, even if he's gone off beat, it'll bring him back on track. Even if shaitan and nafs pull him somewhere else, then too, because of that ilm, again, sometimes he'll start getting the hidayat and he'll come back on track. But if he doesn't have that ilm also, then he will be lost totally. But ilm demands amal. As I was explaining last night, that there's a lot of taqaza of everything that we make as ustads and muhtamims of Darul Ulooms. Today you are in the 5th year, 6th year, 4th year, tomorrow you'll be teaching somewhere, and then who knows, one day you'll end up as a muhtamim of some institution, or you could be a principal of some Darul Uloom. So we make a lot of taqaza of what? I'm repeating certain things for the benefit of those that came late. They were not there last night. There's a lot of taqaza from the principal in Darul Ulooms, that too in some Darul Ulooms. Generally even that is not there. That the student must have his beard at least one fist length. He must have his pants above his ankle. He must wear this, I will say, the libas of the saliheen. So there is taqaza of that, that the person must have this and that. And again I repeat that we must not make our zawq shariat. As muhtamims of madrasas, apne zawq ko shariat mat bana do. Apne zawq ko shariat mat bana do. Apne zawq ko shariat ke tabe bana do. Let shariat become our tabiat. Because we will have a certain kind of frame of mind, and we like a certain thing, and then we will introduce it into our madrasa and we will say that this is shariat, whereas it may not be shariat. It is our zawq, our tabiyat, or because of our taluk with some mashayikh or some akabir or somebody of a certain silsila. So then we want now to impose that on the entire madrasa student fraternity. So that will create ikhtilaf, it will create problems. So that is a different thing. As a muhtamim, the person must be careful that he must not make his zawq into shariat and apply it as a rule for everyone. So there is a lot of taqazad, a demand that the student must have his wazaqata right, he must have this right, that right, and he must be on time, and he must make his mutala'a. In fact, what is mutala'a? Say mutala'a is Mukutala. What's mutala'a? Mukutala. You can only make mutala'a if you put lock on your mouth, on your lips. Again, if the person will remain silent, then only he can make mutala'a. So the person is making his mutala'a, and he must make this, he must do that. Now all there's a lot of taqaza and demand for all that. But in how many madrasas and in how many Darul Ulooms and how many institutions there is also a demand, or there's a taqaza, that the student must make amal on the ilm. to make amal on the ilm, how many institutions have we got taqaza of that? That all this ilm that you are getting now must make amal on that. And we want to see that you are making amal. Now we will say that, well, lots of places they make sure that they make the namaz right, they must be there in the first saf, they must make with takbir-e-ula. Now that also is to a certain extent. But there are much, much more things besides that. When you are reading the books of Hadith Sharif, when you are doing the Quran Sharif, does the Quran Sharif only talk about namaz, roza, zakat, hajj? What about the batini amraz, the batini sicknesses and diseases that students of our time and all of us have? Now, which madrasa is there a taqaza that you must put your akhlaq right and your batini amraz, your batini sicknesses and diseases? Now we know that in the madrasa there is also a shoba, or there is a department that is working on the improvement of the batin. How many madrasas do we have in the world today where there is a shoba or there is a branch or a department which is specific, or the specific function of which is that the students of that Darul Uloom, of that Dini institution, their ruhani amraz, their ruhani sicknesses and diseases, a spiritual cure for all that. So this department will deal with that, where they will have one truly sincere and genuine Allah wala that will be not answering just fatwas, and fatwas they'll go to the Mufti Saab. He will be, his edara will be edara of ishq and muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, or his department. And he will answer those questions. How many institutions do we have? So isn't it farz also, just as namaz is farz, roza, zakat, hajj is farz, in the same way is it not also farz that the person must build up that much muhabbat and love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that it restrains him from haram and it encourages him or makes him do all that which is ordered by Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now this is the department which is very, very badly neglected, and as a result, large number of us, we come out from our madaris, from our institutions, and about the only thing then that we do is we teach somewhere, a few people get some more knowledge and it carries on. But the changes that we are wanting in the lives of the people, we get some outward changes, apparent changes, but the inner change does not seem to be coming. And that will only come in the sohbat of those who have spent time in the sohbat of some mashayikh, and they have purified their souls. Now we have very few like that. I myself am muhtaj of that. And we sometimes think that we wish we had someone here locally to whom we could have gone and spent some time and derive some benefit in their company. Because this is where you start polishing your heart. Our hearts are filled with all the amraz. Hasad is one of the worst diseases, and it is very much prevalent in the hearts of those who are students of deen and in the hearts of those who are ulama and asatiza. Just go to the institutions and see how much of hasad there is. Now if we are going to have that much hasad, then how can we really have an impact on the hearts of others when we are going to talk about the harms of hasad? The same with pride, the same with arrogance, and the same with so many other diseases of the heart. So this get together, this coming of yours, you have come not for an increase in your knowledge. I have forgotten most of the work that we did in the madrasa, having not engaged in teaching those kitabs for the past 25-30 years since we returned. So then you forget those kitabs. So your knowledge is fresh. You have done tafsir, hadith and all the things very recently. So your knowledge is much, much more than mine. So you haven't come here to increase your knowledge. The knowledge you are getting there in the Darul Uloom, and plenty of it. So this program which you see here, if you don't see too much of tafsir there and commentaries of hadith there, and if you don't see fiqh and other things there, then you must not feel disappointed because that is something that you were getting. There was no need for you to come all the way here for that. What you have come here for is that we all get together and we x-ray ourselves and we see where our weakness lies, and then we try to bring about this change within our hearts. And that heart change will come, as I explained last night also, that it will come. It just depends on how far the person has gone. Somebody takes a short time, somebody takes a longer time. Now if a person once changes overnight, it's not going to come. Like that youngster asked me, he says, "Mullah, how long will it take?" He says, "I was in this habit, that habit, that habit. Now I changed. Now how long will it take to get that kind of a connection and that noor and that ta'alluq with Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam?" I said, "I don't know how long it will take. But one thing I do know is that the person, the more he is involved in sins or was involved in sins, the longer it takes for him. Because the temptation is always there. That one person, he didn't commit any sins, or he was not a person in the fast lane. He never read filthy magazines, he never watched any kind of porn movie or filthy film, nothing. Now that person, if he made tawbah, it's easy for him because he didn't really go to those things. But the other person who was listening to music, he was watching all the films and going to the discos and theatres and cinemas. So now there's more pressure on him. Now he gives it up after listening to some waaz, bayan and all that, he gives it up. But now it's not easy because every time the taste and enjoyment of those past sins, it comes into the heart. Now the person wants to go back. There's a pull all the time. The person wants to go back. But he mustn't despair. He mustn't think that now what progress am I making. In fact, he now, if he burns that, those desires that are coming, which are evil desires, if he burns them up and resists that temptation, then he will make very quick progress. But the moment he falls for the temptation and goes one more time back to it, then again he goes to square one. So it will take a longer time for that person. But the fact is that there is a progress that the person is making if he is resisting him. And one day will come in his life when he will reach that water. That is a very beautiful example. And I've quoted it many, many times. That when the person is digging for a well, then in the early stages, the person gets sand, dust, that's all. 10 feet down to his sand and dust. Deeper you go, still sand and dust. After over 100 feet, 200 feet somewhere, then you get a dampness in the water, but in the sand. But still you cannot take that sand and start drinking. But if the person stops there and he says, "From so long I'm digging and I've only reached this stage now," then he won't be of benefit. Though he won't reach the water. So now he just goes a little further and now he'll strike water. Now after that, that water will be sufficient to quench his thirst, the thirst of his family and the thirst of the entire nation sometimes. So in the spiritual world it is the same. That in the early stages when the person is going on this path, then it's all the dirt and the filth that starts coming out. The person doesn't really see any dramatic change in his life. But after some time, if he carries on making the effort, then after some time he will reach that stage. We will say that now there's some kind of dampness. And if he carries on further, then he will strike the water. And that water will then quench the thirst of we do not know how many people. Sometimes one Allah wala is sitting in one village, a remote village in India, and millions of people have benefited from his ulum and from his taqwa and from his knowledge throughout the world. The person is there. And you find somebody reading his kitab here, somebody reading his kitab in America, somebody is benefiting from him in England, somebody in China. And yet they were just in one small village. So what was that? It was that water that they had reached. Their hearts were now benefiting so many people. So those who say that, "I don't know what happened, no real change came," we say, "Well, look at that baby that was born. The baby was just born, now you go and start measuring that baby. After 5 minutes again you measure the baby. After 1 hour you measure the baby. Will you find any difference? Even after one day if you measure, you won't find difference. But a lot of things have happened inside that baby's body. So many cells have increased. Now you wait for a few days and then you will see the difference. And after 1 month, 6 months, 2 years, 5 years, every time you'll find a difference until you say another person is running and now he's a young person and now he got married and then he's a father of children. So the changes came, but the thing is that you can't be measuring every day and seeing what's the change. So those who have started making the effort, they must see what they were yesterday, what they were 1 month ago, what they were 1 year ago, what they were 10 years ago. Don't give up hope. Don't say that we can't do it. Then inshallah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make things easy. From a distance, when you look at the railway line, it seems as if both lines are meeting. Now if the driver of the train sees from 100 meters away, then he will, and it's a straight line, then you'll find at the end of it, it's meeting. So now he says, how can I travel on this road? Because I will reach there and it will derail. So he says, you don't have to look at that, you carry on. And as you'll arrive there, you'll find it's open for another 100, 200 meters. And as you go along, it'll be open right through. So it seems from a distance as if it is difficult. But it's not difficult. And as I explained earlier, that in these days, because of our weakness, we don't go on the very rigid and hard and fast line. It's a very relaxed way of getting people connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Very easy route. In these days we have to choose an easy route. But even the easy route, there has to be some mujahada. If a person says that this food here, I want that it must just go away in my stomach. I don't want to do anything. He doesn't want to chew, he doesn't want to do anything. It must just go into his stomach. So you see, you'll have to take it and put it into your mouth. And if you don't want to put it, then somebody will have to open your mouth and put it inside. So still there'll be some mujahada there. So even if some things are easy, but still there will be some mujahada. But a little mujahada in these days takes a person a very long way. So these programs which we have got, it is not for an increase in your knowledge. The knowledge you will get when you go back again, you will carry on with the tafsir and the hadith and the fiqh, whichever you are doing. But because it was your request, you wanted to come down and spend a few days here, so we've got this simple program. And inshallah, as I said, that it is for servicing. And if we service properly, then you will be able to ride that car, drive the car very, very fast. So the servicing requires this, that you curtail unnecessary, futile, irrelevant discussions, talks. Yes, general meeting of the brothers that are with you, and we don't go on to that extreme where you only make salam and then sleep after that. But at least stay away from any kind of ghibat, any kind of criticism of anyone. Best thing is don't discuss anyone. Discuss yourself, then finish, there's no ghibat. The moment we look at this one, that one, then it'll take us to ghibat. And I have great hopes in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that if you spend your time correctly, then in 5 days' time you can get that which you normally get in 5 years' time. But if the time is spent correctly, then inshallah you will see, you will notice, you will find that difference. Of course, we have to carry on working until we reach that stage that we say, "Tumne mujhe kya shauq-e firawa kar diya? Pehle jaan, phir jaane jaan kar diya." Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must bless us all with His marifat, His muhabbat, His yaqeen. And especially in these days, in July, in the month of July, I was saying in my majlis last week that in Durban, all around there's nothing but attraction. So I said, I don't know, but the gun has already been fired for the gunston. But one thing we know, that the angel of death has drawn the gun for someone or the other, and we do not know if we are one of them. Then also there's the July handicap. So we don't know whether those horses have already galloped or not, but I do know in July they normally gallop. But one thing is certain, that we are galloping very fast towards our graves. So those areas where we will be tempted. Now there's nothing there but haram entertainment scenes. That is how shaitan has planned the whole thing, that we get caught somewhere. Nothing but haram, 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 right round. So best thing is avoid that haram. Let people say that you are all orthodox and you are old fashioned. If we can't save others, at least we can save ourselves. Out of necessity, a person has to go somewhere well and good. But unnecessarily, don't go to those places where we will end up in some kind of sin, especially when we haven't got that kind of restraining power within ourselves. So then, inshallah, within the 5 days, you will find great amount of difference. Any questions? Anyone's got any question, you can ask. But of course, don't ask such a question like that. One person asked in the Haram Sharif, one sheikh of the time, in them days, he stood up and he said, if anyone has got any question, then I will answer any question related to anything, then inshallah I will give you the answer. So one person stood up and he said that Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the sixth Hajj that he made, the barber who shaved his head after the Hajj, what was his name? So he said, no, but you rather don't ask any more questions, because I mean, now who is going to know the name of the barber who shaved his head in the sixth Hajj? So don't ask those kind of questions. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم يا رحيم يا كريم يا ستار العيوب غفار الذنوب خدا اے اللہ ہم گنہگار سیاہ کار بدکار سب کچھ ہے بندے مگر تیرے تو رحیم ہے تو کریم ہے اے اللہ تو ستار العیوب ہے غفار الذنوب ہے اے اللہ تو معافی کو پسند کرتا ہے اے اللہ ہم سب کی مغفرت کر دے اے اللہ یہ طلبہ جو دار العلوم سے یہاں تک آئے ہیں اے اللہ ان سب کی زندگیوں میں انقلاب پیدا کر دے اے اللہ ہم سب کو تیری خاص نسبت عطا فرما دے تیرا قرب عطا فرما دے حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی سچی محبت اور عشق نصیب فرما دے اے اللہ ہمارے علم کے اوپر ہمیں عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما اے اللہ ہر قسم کی معصیت اور گناہ سے ہماری حفاظت فرما اے اللہ ہم بے حد کمزور ہیں ہمارے حال پر رحم فرما اے اللہ ہمارے بیٹھنے کو ہماری مجلسوں کو تیرے فضل و کرم سے قبول فرما اے اللہ ہمارے دلوں کے اندر ایک انقلاب پیدا کر دے اے اللہ روحانیت سے مالا مال کر دے اے اللہ ہر قسم کی عافیت و سلامتی نصیب فرما ہمیں مزکا مصفہ مجلہ قلوب عطا فرما اے اللہ غیبت سے چغلی سے ہر قسم کے حرام سے ہماری حفاظت فرما اے اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو کبر سے نفاق سے حسد سے اور ہر قسم کی برائی اور معصیت سے پاک اور صاف فرما اے اللہ سارے عالم کے اندر مسلمانوں کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما فلسطین کے مسلمانوں کی مدد فرما کشمیر کے مسلمانوں کی مدد فرما اے اللہ بوسنیا چچنیا ہندوستان اور ہر جگہ پر جہاں مسلمان پریشان ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما اے اللہ غیب سے ان کی مدد اور نصرت فرما اے اللہ ہمارا خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما ہر قسم کے فتنے سے ہماری اولاد کی بیوی بچوں کی خاندان کی اور امت مسلمہ کی حفاظت فرما اے اللہ تجھے چھوڑ کر ہم جائے کہاں میرے اللہ تیرے سوا ہمارا کوئی ہے ہی نہیں اے اللہ تیرے سوا ہمارا کوئی سہارا نہیں تیرے سوا کوئی ہمارا نہیں اے اللہ اگر تو نے نگاہ رحمت پھیر لی تو پھر تو بتا کہ ہم گندے جائے کہاں اے اللہ ہماری معصیت اور گناہوں کی وجہ سے نگاہ رحمت ہم سے مت پھیر اے اللہ دین کی خدمت اخلاص کے ساتھ اور شرف قبولیت کے ساتھ کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما اے اللہ اخلاص کے ساتھ کرنے کی توفیق دے اور شرف قبولیت بھی نصیب فرما اے اللہ ان طلباء نے جو حسن زن ظاہر کیا ہے اس حسن زن کو تو قبول فرما اے اللہ اس ناکارے ان کے حسن زن کے مطابق تو بنا دے ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم اے اللہ ہم سب کو صحت دے عافیت دے سلامتی دے عزت دے اے اللہ ہر قسم کی نعمتوں سے مالا مال فرما وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ ونور عرشہ سیدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.